Which commandment did we look at last? Do you remember?
Six.
Outstanding. And which is? Not everybody at once, though. You shall not murder is number six. And remember, we talked about it's not just that physical act, but it is a condition of my heart. Do I hold anger and bitterness and resentment? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, that's where I'm gonna be under the same judgment as the murderer if I do. Today we're going to look at one that's not easily talked about, but it needs to be talked about. It's commandment number seven, and it says quite simply in Deuteronomy 18, you shall not commit adultery. And so, you know, let me ask you a question to think about just for a moment. In today's thinking, if we are uncomfortable with Scripture, do we ignore it? I think some people do. If we're uncomfortable, we probably just would ignore it. Or we discredit it. You know, there's a whole lot of folks that are just out there right now in America and around the world trying to discredit the Word of God. And there's plenty, I've been told myself, and I don't view myself typically as out of date or old-fashioned, but yet that's what I can be labeled when I think this word is still true. It is still valid. It is still relevant. It is still trustworthy. It's not out of date. And if I'm old-fashioned because I think it's still in date, I'll take it. I'll take the label. You know what? When the Scripture makes us uncomfortable, maybe, and I'm speaking to myself here, should I not be making then some changes in my lifestyle? If the Scripture makes me squirm just a little bit and a little uncomfortable, maybe I need to seek the face of God and see how He would have me to direct my life. You know what? Let me say this before I go any further. God didn't make up just some old rule book to put you in a mousetrap. He didn't make up some old rule book to say, you can't do this, Jim, or you can't do this, or whatever. He set this standard. He set the psalmist calls them his precepts for our good. You know what? That's a novel idea. He's got your good in mind. He's got my good in mind. And so let me just say, as we think about this commandment number seven, sex, that used to be a taboo word in church, did you know that? If I stopped right there and just quit, you'd really wonder, wouldn't you? And sexuality and lust are running unchecked in America. And around the world, I guess. I've not been around the world. Western civilization, I believe, is out of control in this category. Sexual infidelity is nearly the same statistic in the church house as it is in the out of the church house. Pornography, divorce because of infidelity, and unfaithfulness is almost the same statistic in the church as it is outside the church. And so lest we think we can look at this list of 10 like I've alluded to before, check, no, I'm not a murderer, let us recognize that you shall not commit adultery runs deeper than the act of sexual unfaithfulness. Just because the world says it's okay doesn't mean it's okay. And if we get caught up in this idea, like I know that America has, so much so, that sex any old way, any old time, with any old body is okay, please understand that the Word of God has a better standard than that. It's not okay. Outside the confines of marriage, it's not okay. God created something wonderful and beautiful and intimate for a man and a woman. The two shall come together and be one flesh. He calls this a mystery. He created sexuality and sexual intimacy for the boundaries of marriage. And yet society, we have thrown open the floodgates and said, if it feels good, do it. Don't matter with who or where or anything else. That's not God's standard. With that said, let me say this before time has completely gone already on us. If we're caught up in some type of sexual sin, take the words of Jesus to the lady that was caught. Stop now, repent, and go and sin no more. If we claim the name of Jesus Christ as Lord, and we're falling into some sexual sin, repent and stop now. And if you say, Jim, I just can't stop, whether it's this or that or the other thing, then get an accountability partner. Call me, email me or something. Get an accountability so you're accountable before God as soon as possible. And do as Jesus said, go. I don't condemn you either, he told the lady. You remember the story. But go and stop. Sin no more. Now let me say this too before we go any further. There is forgiveness of sin. Glory to God. There is forgiveness of sin. When we repent, you know what repentance means, right? It means I confess and I turn away. When we repent, Jesus' word, God's word is so clear. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please hear me, brothers and sisters. I'm not here to condemn, nor am I here to condone sexual sin. I am here to say what the Bible says about our life's choices. I am here to emphasize what Jesus said, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. And so with that in mind, what are we talking about when we talk about adultery? You ever think about that? It's kind of like murder. It's more than that act. Jesus described it clearly in Matthew 5, 27, 28. Let me take you to on a little journey for a few minutes into Adam Clark's commentary and describe and elaborate just a little bit on this seventh command that says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Here's what he says. The act itself and everything leading to the act is prohibited by this commandment. The act itself and everything leading up to it is prohibited by this commandment. For our Lord says, even he who looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You know, we know that to be true from Matthew 5, 27 and 28. Jesus said, even if I look after her with lust in my heart, I might. It's the same. So you see, it's more than the act. It's in our mind. It's in our thought process. And you know what I've thought about that? I've thought about that a great deal these last days. And you know, there's just a whole lot of opportunity for lust today. Can I be real frank about that? There's just a whole lot of opportunity. You can't turn on TV. I don't watch the evening news or the evening programs because I don't get anything but PBS. I'm thankful about that. Because you can't turn it on, daytime or nighttime, without seeing sex or the acts of sex or intimacies or nudities, even on TV. You can't go buy a movie anymore and watch. Maybe you like Westerns, maybe you like whatever it is you like without displays of nudity and all manner things. You can't walk by the grocery store and check out your groceries without seeing the tabloids and all manner of things. You can't go to college campuses or the high schools even without seeing a whole lot of flesh today. And so may I just say that there's a whole lot of opportunity for lust. And Jesus called lusting after a woman, and it can be the reverse can be true too. is the same as committing adultery with her in the physical act. So let me conclude this little dynamic with this. Men and women both have a role to play here. Okay? Men and women both have a role to play here. And let me be really brief. And you can talk to ladies. Ladies can talk to ladies more about this. But ladies, please don't make it so easy for men to lust. And other ladies that have been Christian women for many years will tell you the same thing. And I'm just going to be really brief and really simplistic. Please recognize the thought process of a man. It's not typically very clean. Please don't make it easy for the man to lust. And I'm going to leave it at that. Men, draw the line. Don't let what you have seen cross over into sin. Isn't that what James said when he said, but one is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it. Then, when that desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. You see what I'm saying? Don't let men, and women too, don't let what you have seen cross over to sin, because it starts to formulate in your mind. Oh boy. Wasn't it Martin Luther that said, you can't stop the bird from passing over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest in your hair. I'm talking about the same thing here. You can't hardly live a day today on TV, internet, tabloids, stuff, everyday living without seeing some things that can take your thoughts and your eyes from that just seeing to the point of sin. So I'm saying, men, draw the line. Draw the line. Don't allow yourself to get there when you see a pretty woman walking down the sidewalk and it's the heat of the day and she ain't got much on. Don't let your mind get there. If you got to look away, then you best look away. I made a little bit of a rule in our house a whole long time ago when our children were in the home, and I just said to myself, self, if my children see you watching that stuff, they're going to think it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. American society has said everything is okay, but God did not say it's okay. And I will say it again, I am not here to condemn or to condone sexual sin, but it is out of control in America and Western society, and the church. The church needs to rise up and recognize that God, I'm going to use this word now, Marie, God has an expectation of His people to obey His commandments. Adam Clark goes on. Not only is the act of adultery forbidden in this command, adultery, as you know, generically is sexual relations between a married person or married persons. But he also says, but also fornication, which you know is to be sexual intimacies and unmarried, and all kinds of mental and sensual uncleanness. You say, Jim, what's sensual uncleanness? Let me describe it just a moment. Adultery, which we've talked about. Fornication, which we've talked about. Sodomy, which we know. Drunkenness and lasciviousness. He lists all in this category of sensual uncleanness. You say, Jim, what is lasciviousness? The Greek word plainly says something like anything inward or outward that is contrary to chastity. Lasciviousness, big old word, hard to say. Anything in my mind, inward in my heart, anything inward or outward that is contrary to sexual purity. Adam Clark continues, all impure books. This is not a guy of the 21st century. And yet he's writing in here, thou shalt not commit adultery also includes all impure books, songs, paintings, etc. Had he lived in the 21st century, he would say, and the internet, and all manner of television. Because he says in this category, all impure songs, paintings, books, etc., which tend to inflame and debauch the mind, he says, are against this law. Brothers and sisters, I don't have to tell you what's on TV, the movies, magazines, internet. I don't have to tell you what's on there. We must be very, very careful. And we in the church must recognize that God has an expectation of His people. We can read all kinds of New Testament scripture. I will close with one in just a minute. We don't have the time, but we can read all kinds of it. Galatians 5, Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians 6. We can read all kinds that talk about this. There are consequences for our sin. Let me share with you one. Chuck Colson said, anybody listen to Breakpoint? Yeah, Chuck Colson's got some pretty good stuff once in a while, don't he? And one day on Breakpoint the other day, he said, how we live our lives in our marriages or outside of our marriages affects every aspect of our lives. For example, studies have shown that much poverty in the United States is sexually driven. And then he went on. Much poverty in the United States is sexually driven. That is, many of our children are poor because they were born out of wedlock. And as Robert Rector and Melissa G. Pardue write on the Heritage Foundation webpage, you can look at that up, Heritage Foundation, here's what they say, the collapse of marriage is the principal cause of child pornography in the United States. The main cause. Children raised by never married mothers are 7 times more likely to live in poverty than children raised by married parents. I'm not here to condemn, brothers and sisters. I'm just telling us there are facts that show when we choose to live for Christ and walk with Jesus and live according to the standard that God has given to us, there is a way of life which may seem out of date and out of touch with reality, but it is the better way. And until we realize that, we continue to have statistics that blow our mind. Our poor ladies raising babies by themselves, and these poor children are 7 times more likely to be poor because they are doing it on their own by and large. Colson goes on to say, I've seen this close up in the prison population where 90% of the inmates have no father role model. 90% haven't had a father in their life enough, or maybe not at all, to help them say, son, there's a better way. And he says a whole lot more. I don't have time to go through all that now. Our time's running out. But I want us to think about a couple things as I close. When God commanded this 7th command, did he do it to penalize? No. When God gave us the 7th command, did he do it to withhold something from humanity? No. When God gave us the 7th command, did he say that sexual intimacies were off limits? No. He created sexual intimacies for the confines of marriage. God says, I've got a better idea. How about we keep it within the marriage? Command 7. The adversary, however, has stirred the senses of humanity and told us yet another lie. If you've watched the Truth Project, like many of you have, we hear about this pernicious lie that the adversary has come along and said all manner of things. Very quickly, let me touch on one other subject. Six states now, or five states in Washington, D.C., have legalized same-sex marriage. Does that mean it's right and okay? Did God have anything to say about same-sex attractions and same-sex association relationships? Indeed, he did, which we do not have time to look at today. But you can write down Romans 1. You can write down Leviticus 18. You can write down Leviticus 20. You can write down 1 Corinthians 6, 9. It all talks about it. It is sin. And so oftentimes, and perhaps too oftentimes, the church house gets all wrapped up in this idea of homosexuality be sin, is a besetting sin in our society, and we go about our merry way in pornography and adultery of all manner of kinds and think it's okay. Isn't that the truth? We start to condemn and we start to point fingers while we walk down the pathway called adultery and think nothing of it. Even in the pulpit, it is true. You know it's true, and I know it's true. Praise God, it's not true in this one. But it is true. I think I've said about enough, don't you? Let me close with this. 1 Corinthians 6, 15. Do you not know, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth here, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee, verse 18 says, flee sexual immorality. He's talking to the church. He's saying, run away when that temptation comes. Run away from it. And let me just say, if you have a... You saw that movie. What was that movie about the guy and the gal? He was caught up in pornography on the internet. Fireproof, thank you. If you, brothers or sisters, can't get on the internet without finding a pornographic site or reading pornographic things, or maybe it's the phone sex lines, or maybe it's, did you know, and some of you don't know this, but some of you do, did you know there's a thing that's an actual word now, an actual happening called sexting? It's reality. We don't have time to talk about these things, but Paul makes it quite simple. Brothers and sisters that know Jesus, flee sexual immorality. And if you say, Jim, I'm just not being able to break this, and then get an accountability partner. Call me if you're a man. Call one of the ladies in the church that you look up to for an accountability partner to help you. Let's be clear about one thing here. God created sexuality. This is God's idea. Not a bad idea. But he created it with boundaries. And when it's within boundaries, it is the best. It is the best way. And so anything other than what God has created, he's created sexuality for a man and a woman within the confines of marriage, anything other than that breaks the seventh commandment. Now let me say this and I'll close. Maybe we never knew. Maybe we never knew. Maybe we were never taught much about the seventh command. Maybe we were told, well, that's Old Testament stuff and that's just kind of old. That's just kind of old. Maybe we choose to ignore it. Whatever the case, brothers and sisters, let's take the advice of Jesus. Let's take the advice of the New Testament that says flee sexual immorality. And if I've been caught up in that, let's take that advice of Jesus that says, I don't condemn you either. You need to repent and go and sin no more. The church, brothers and sisters, has to be a starting place for God's commands. Because if it isn't going to happen in the church, I will guarantee you it's never going to happen outside of it. It must start with God's people. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your commands. Thank you for your expectations of us. Thank you, Father, that you have a better way. Thank you that your scripture is clear. Thank you, Father, that you love us. You love us. You really want what's best for us. And when we consider and factor into our lives these types of commands, that's what's best for us. Thank you, Father. Help us, Father, when we're weak. Help us, Father, when we're tempted. Help us, Father, to keep our eyes on you. Help us to bear one another's burdens. Help us to be loving and compassionate and kind and understanding to those that are trapped or caught up. But help us to know what Jesus said. In his words, it was loving, it was compassionate, it was forgiving, but it also was an expectation. Stop and sin no more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.